In a world, four friends, one mission.
Mikey, what are you doing?
I'm doing the thing for the podcast.
It's not that hard, bud.
Dude, just say the name.
Fine. It's the Freedom Friends Podcast.
Holy shit, it's the Freedom Friends. Tell your mom I'm coming to visit where the kids came from right after these messages.
Zing.
Going to dad's house?
Specifically dad's balls.
Specifically.
Yeah, quite specifically. Balls. Guys, it wouldn't be the Freedom Friends if we didn't talk about our number one sponsor, Warfighter Tobacco. Obviously, you guys have seen us all smoke them. We're here to talk about a quality product that everybody can enjoy. The great equalizer, as we've called it, the Warfighter Tobacco Stick. And it's not just cigars. They've got humidors, travel humidors, cutters, lighters, everything you need to get started on that journey. So check out warfightertobacco.com and use that code FTFO. Score yourself that sweet, sweet 15%. If you want to know my personal favorite, I'm a 762 Field guy. I like that Sumatra, real nice and even keeled cigar. Great for us beginner smokers, right? And I'm told that these taste even better when you're listening to the Freedom Friends podcast. Now, back to the show. This episode is brought to you by Grill Your Ass Off. It's no secret. We're all middle-aged dudes who love barbecue. Grill Your Ass Off is our main go-to for our spices. That's what we use, man. Whether you're doing burgers on the grill, steaks, or my personal favorite, a little bit of pork belly burnt ends, right? They've got you covered on all of that. They also have salsas. They also have seasonings and spices. They got beer salts. They've got everything, man. Check them out. GrillYourAssOff.com/FreedomFriendsPodcast or use the code FreedomFriendsPodcast at checkout. We haven't been together for a while. All four of us.
I like how you put it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The four of us have not. I mean, how many did I miss? Three?
Three.
Yeah. I missed three episodes.
No, three episodes missed you, Mike.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Thanks, pal.
You were gone?
No. I've been here the whole time. I've just been quiet.
I gave up yolks for Lent.
Yeah. That's what it is. I gave up comedy for Lent.
I gave up giving up.
Yeah, it's a good move. It's a good move.
I just gave up.
John, what was our plan with Lent? That we were going to try things we weren't supposed to do during Lent, so that way we knew.
Yeah.
So we lived better lives outside of those 40 days.
Like this, that's what
you just do
like,
debauchery for 40 days, so that you learned, like, okay, these are sins. Like, do not need to participate.
I'm in.
So what that's did you do during Lent? Black tar heroin.
Yeah.
You know, but it's okay. It's Lent. For Lent. Yeah. Right.
So it's 40 days, and it's like
it's I'm like, gonna, hey, you want to worship Jesus and die?
Yeah. So for 40 days, you're just fucked up so that the other 325, you know, you need to live a better life.
It's, just yes.
it's a better lesson. It's not about appreciating, you know, sacrifice. It's about maintaining my purity the rest of the time.
I think people would look forward to Lent a little differently.
Could you imagine the Lent plans? They'd just be
I'm
like,
tell you right now,
bro.
Catholics do not look forward to Lent.
No, I know. But now you might now.
Until the purge. Somebody would take it too far.
Yeah.
No, that's not too far.
No, you're right.
If we go to,
I think that's just no. Right.
We just I'm go only between a serial 3 killer. And 7 in Pittsburgh.
I'm only a serial killer during Lent.
Yeah.
Shit.
What is that? The Good Friday killer? I don't. It just
fucking.
It just beats you to death with a fish.
You know how embarrassed you'd be when you get to the gates?
They're like, listen.
I think you missed the idea, man.
We're not going to let you in. It's like, why? It's like, well, you were murdered, and that's horrible. But you let a man beat you to death with a fish. Yeah. So,
and it was a sunfish at that.
I thought you were talking about the murderer. Shit.
Yeah.
No,
he's good. He's doing it for Lent.
He gets to the gate, and they're like, I think there was a misunderstanding. There was a miscommunication somewhere about what we were trying to get through.
It's our fault.
Like, did you use Google Translate on the Bible? Oh, that's what it
yeah,
was.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Latin's tricky.
Yeah. So how was Rednecks?
Rednecks is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really, really wet the last day.
Yeah.
And so like,
I saw your shoes sitting back there.
Yeah, and we didn't even go in the mud pits.
It was just
the roads.
Yeah.
But no, it was nice. A lot of fun. It always is. Met a couple. One guy, I'm just walking around, not wearing anything to give me away. And he's smoking a cigar. But he's like, you Scott? I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah, I listen to Freedom Friends. And he's a deputy sheriff out of Oklahoma.
Oh,
and he offered us all. He's a day shift guy, though, but he offered us all ride-alongs if we ever want.
Oh, is that where that message came from?
Probably.
Because all of a sudden, because we're all logged into the fucking Facebook page.
And I never look.
So. I don't either, because typically he just responds to everything. So, but it came across, and it was like...
It's usually me that responds.
It was like follow-up ride-along. And so it got my attention because it said follow-up ride-along, and I was like, what is...
This reminds me, I'd like to address something for the listeners out there. People who see our micro content and then reach out to us saying, hey, I want to be your video editor. Obviously, we have one, man. You know, if you saw it through our micro content on one of our social networks.
Was scrolling your TikTok.
I'm going to go on a fucking limb and say that, we probably already got one.
I love the ones that were
like. We literally have a producer sitting right there.
He's probably the only one that pays attention to your message.
They usually send them to the email.
Yeah. I like all four of these guys way too much to give anyone outside of this room raw footage.
Yeah. Facts, dude. Facts. Yeah. So
you think you saw the whole show.
So you guys can stop asking. It's always gonna be a hard no.
Yeah.
Not
that we don't like you. We just have Justin.
Yeah, we have Justin. Yeah. We have a Justin. We have fingers back there, and we don't need.
Holy shit. Speaking of our micro content. And I called you about that because I was so
you
proud.
Insufferable edgelord.
I was so proud.
We had to Google what edgelord
meant. I didn't even know what it was. I had to go look it up.
Do tell.
Okay, so last week?
This
was last week, something
by the way,
like that.
The t-shirt will be available soon.
We were discussing on the show, it was a longer conversation, but it had landed on veteran discounts. Okay. And it's like a veteran company. People ask us for veteran discounts and all that kind of stuff. And so I did the same joke that I do in my store all the time. And Justin clipped that out and put it up as a micro piece. And he called me and told me, and he's like, just so you know, this is going out tomorrow. And I was like, okay, cool, whatever. So
you give him a heads up. You never give us a heads up.
I know, right,
dude? What the fuck?
But it came across my FYP. And so I was looking at it, and it did like, just come up like it because I had the timestamp on it or whatever. And I was like, oh, they like just put this up. And it already had like 18 or 19 comments on it. And I was like, oh, either people really agree or we made people the big fucking mad.
Yeah.
Because if it's that fresh and it gets that many comments that fast, then it's typically like either people really liked it or you really pissed some people off. So it was in there. And most of the comments were actually like,
this is awesome. They were on board. They're like, I'm going to do this too.
More importantly, they got the joke.
Yeah.
That's
and there was even guys on there that was like, hey, if you're mad about what that guy just said, these guys' humor is not for you. But one of them was like, you know, you could just say no instead of being an insufferable edgelord. And I was like,
oh, what's this?
So he calls me and he happened to catch me. I was at lunch. So I was sitting in an office quietly by myself. Like the only part of the day. And I'm like, hey, buddy. And he's like,
I think
he's like
peak internet.
That's what he says. He goes, I think I made peak internet. And I was like, did you go in the comments? And he's like, I did. And I was like, you know, you're not supposed to do that. And he goes, yeah, but this was fun.
Yeah, and he's like, worth it.
And he tells me, and he's like, some dude called me an insufferable edgelord. And I was like, I don't even know what that means. Yeah. I don't know what an edgelord is.
So what is it?
Apparently, it's not what we thought it meant.
No, like, so I thought
it was like
in the context of the comment, it came across about the whole like instead of just saying no, you do some big long drawn out explanation of something,
which holds weight.
Yeah,
for me, 100%.
Sure,
we
draw it out because you know it's a bit.
Yeah,
you know,
like, do you have fun? I say yes.
It turns out
the show? Good.
It turns out that's not what an edgelord is. So an edgelord is somebody that goes on the internet and goes on like forums and stuff like that and goes on and says shit that is contradictory or inflammatory for the purposes of looking edgy and cool. Like on
to try to get like a response.
And it's supposed to be the whole like.
Yeah.
And I guess it's now it also expanded. I ran this by a bunch of fucking his generation people to get translated.
Someone on an internet forum who deliberately talks about controversial, offensive, taboo, or nihilistic subjects in order to shock other users in an effect to appear cool, or edgy.
Or the definition up top, which is, by the way, this is from the Oxford Dictionary.
A provocative or extreme persona, especially online, typically used of a man.
So
edgelords act like contrarians in the hope that everyone will admire them as rebels.
Okay, so Oxford, listen up. If you're going to define a word, you have to use words that everybody else understands.
It's Oxford, bro. They can't even spell fucking deal, color right.
If you read the definition and don't understand a word, luckily it's the goddamn dictionary and you go look up the other word.
I didn't go there to fucking go down a rabbit hole. I went there to learn what one word means. So, like 18.
But I've now been called an edgelord. I had this whole like response line
but he's
that
like,
I wanted to go
but
do.
You're like that in person too.
Yeah, I'm not affecting a persona.
Scott,
yeah,
I went a way different direction with edgelord.
Not
yeah.
I was like, how do you edging? I bet that looks huge.
Like, how does some of our micro content turn into that? I mean, I could see how, but
we don't kink shame.
So yeah, so I was gonna go like make a whole response till I figured out that it wasn't what I thought it was. And then so I didn't.
Yeah. So we found a term that Jazz didn't know the weird random definition of off the top of his
edgelord,
head.
Edgelord, yeah.
You should like be fucking blibbit.
You should be an edgelord to a T.
You know what though?
To him.
That's what I was trying. That's what when I thought I understood what it was off the context of the comment, I had this whole like I have never made a TikTok.
Yeah.
He was going to actually respond.
And I was actually going to go on my personal TikTok and stitch that TikTok and then go like, "Hey, I'm Jazz and this is this guy right here on the show, that's me. And this guy made this comment that this guy, who's me, is an insufferable edgelord." Now, I don't consider myself a content creator or whatever, because I sit here and I talk. He makes all the shit. Like, I just talk into it.
If anything, Justin's the content creator.
100%. Yeah. I'm a prop on his show. Yeah. Like, that's essentially how this really breaks down.
Yeah.
And I was like, but I did go to film school. I did all this other stuff. So I do consider myself a creative. And the ultimate goal of a creative is to elicit some sort of emotional response out of whatever media you make. It's
kind of like your...
Yeah. So, but that was the whole point. There. So I was like, so I want to elicit a response, whether that's positive or negative. And regardless of what that medium is, that's the goal of every creative, whether it's a painting or a drawing or a podcast or whatever it is, you want to create that.
Yeah.
And up to and including comments on the internet.
Right.
So I guess all of that is a really long explanation of saying, hey, thanks for the interaction. That was going to be my TikTok.
When we were like, oh, this is what it means. So then, fortunately, I Googled it while I was on the phone with him. And I was like, well, this doesn't match. And he's like, what? And I read it to him. And he's like, well, that's fucking dumb. Yeah. I was like, yeah, dude. That's definitely not us. Like, we don't do it specifically.
I do have to thank you for explaining what a blibbit is.
Yes. You're welcome. I have used that
word. It is Scott's so new favorite word. And he uses it in the like perfect context.
But the thing is, and that's the power of something like the word blibbit.
It's usually, hey, you know what that is you're doing right there?
That's a blibbit.
Yeah. You know what that is? Yep.
I did it one time.
It's so applicable.
I set it up, sent him a softball, and he fucking hit it out of the park. We were trying to load stuff in a vehicle out back last week or the week before. And we were literally like,
well, it was the Black Friday one. You said it when we were loading the fucking.
No, no, that was a different time.
Yeah.
This was we were loading somebody else's vehicle in the back. And we had to put lube on everything to get it to fit.
Nice.
And as we got the door shut, I'm like, Scott, what's that called? And he's like, it's a blimit.
Yep.
Oh.
So it's, but yeah, I didn't know what the fucking edgelord was. But I have an employee that works for me that's like 23. And I told her. And she was like, no, she's like, you're not an edgelord because it's specifically a channel. So it's like you have to be doing it on the internet because you have the anonymity of the screen.
But don't we like, isn't that just a troll?
But I was like, that's what I said. I was like, that's a troll. And she was like, no, they're edgelords. And I was like, no, it's a troll.
Yeah,
an internet troll. Yeah. The rule of the internet used to be don't feed the trolls because if you just ignore them, they go away.
Yeah, basically.
But the other thing that I told Mikey was, I'm glad the peasants have now given me a proper title. If you want to refer to me as Lord.
You know.
And I was like, we need to make the shirt.
Couldn't
man.
Say it.
Yeah. I was like, we need to make the shirt. It's just an insufferable edgelord.
I'm doing good. I'm doing very good.
Okay.
This was a bad one. Words change over. The same word has the same meaning, but changes the word over time.
Yeah.
So speaking of which,
like back in the
yep, don't.
I didn't.
Get your button ready, Justin.
What?
I need a Nerf gun.
Oh, fuck.
When I start seeing John get there, just be like, here, got it.
I'd run out of ammo with this one. I need a belt fed one over here. Fuck.
I have a story. So, unintentional racism.
Unintentional? Okay,
the word you're looking for is unintentional.
Yeah.
But, okay. I don't disagree. All right. Anyway, so we're at the show.
Accidental?
No, this was unintentional.
Recreational.
No, it wasn't recreational.
Okay. It was
unintentional. So we're at the show, and there's this weird motherfucker in our booth, right? And he's not part of the industry or anything.
He worked for the union.
He worked for the union or whatever, right?
It's one of the actual like show guys.
Yeah.
So he's sitting there and Eric tells him a story. And he said, I was in this shop in Atlanta and there was two black guys. And then he went into a story. And it wasn't racist at all. It was just a story, right? But this guy, as soon as Eric said black guys, went down this racist fucking path like a son of a bitch. Just it fucking devolved, right? And so when he left, I'm like, Eric, it's just two guys in Atlanta from now on. Like, don't open any doors to anything.
Yeah, dude, you don't need fucking adjectives on this one.
No, it's just two guys. Like, and I didn't mean it, but, you know.
Well, look down at your shirt. See that logo on there?
Yeah.
That means you got to watch what the fuck you're saying.
Yeah.
He had no.
Just tell me.
That There was no hate.
Just,
no ill intent.
Tell him to clear his ears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's... There's a.
We'll leave the mountains out of this.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Speaking of. I don't know if it was unintentional. I think it was just lazy. Did you guys see that Democratic senator that is now under fire because of what he said, like, in this briefing about the Republican Party and this move that they made?
No.
I am not going to say the word on this show because it is fucked. And the rest of the comments when I saw the video,
redact.
We're going to take a small pause so I can explain this in context to my co-host here without this going on the fucking internet.
Okay.
So now that I have brought you guys up to speed on this, and if you really want to go find out the rest of this clip, that you can go find it. But
you can look up David Trone.
There you go.
Senate remark.
And this is a Democratic senator that said this. And the thing is that this, I'm sorry, but on a term like that, that is so old school racist.
So without,
I mean, when I brought it up to you, you were like,
without saying the word, he referred to a black Republican.
No. As, the entire Republican Party.
Oh, as a black con artist.
Which is roughly what that term kind of does. It has other connotations.
Okay.
That's just like the kind of the surface one. But that is such an old school, horrible racist term that you didn't even know what it was. I had to tell you what this thing was.
What's his last name?
Trone.
I think it's Trone.
T-R-O-N-E. Apparently he was looking for the word bugaboo.
Which means what? What does bugaboo mean?
Like a bugaboo is like something.
An imaginary object of fear.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
I don't fuck with rattlesnakes and condoms. Those are my two bugaboos.
I guess the moral of this story, kids, is don't try to use big words that you're not real sure of. Like, be sure you know what the words mean before you use them.
And it was just, I couldn't believe it. Like, it was just, and it was one of those, that is so ingrained in this. And he's probably a 60-something-year-old white dude that just threw this thing out casually in the middle of the Senate.
How old does somebody have to be today in order to be like, yeah, they said it. I guess it's okay.
You don't.
You know what I mean?
But I don't think there's actually, in my opinion, there's not an age breakover. It was like
a racial epithet made popular in the 1970s by a man named George Jefferson.
Yeah.
So, I don't think there's an age breakover where you can get away with it.
Like you're in an old folks home and some dude that's 98 years old has Alzheimer's and dementia.
He gets a pass.
Okay, but you're talking about somebody
you're
talking about somebody that no longer has his like cognitive faculties.
Right.
But so, you know, that's like people with Tourette's where they fucking unhinge shit and have no control.
So you just gave Biden a pass. Just throw it out there.
I'm not gonna lie. I've been saying for years that I
thought you meant the racial
No, he gets a pass just because I think this is elder abuse at this point.
Yeah, I don't like making fun of an old man in decline.
And
it's just like.
But as far as like the ones that still have their foul, like I have older friends, and if they said some fucked up shit like that, and it's like, no, you don't get a pass. You know that that's not cool.
Yeah.
Like that's.
Yeah.
Don't have control of your brain.
That's one thing.
That's
something completely different though. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, this is a senator. This is a like, oh God, I just couldn't believe it.
So 3 weeks, man. Let's see here. I was in Boston for 1 week.
Okay.
That was interesting. It's good to be home.
I can't remember why you were in Boston.
I was there for work.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I was there for work. Just doing oil and gas shit. Interesting though. I stayed in Revere, but like literally like worked all the way around Boston and ended up like 10 minutes back from Revere. So it was like, I ended up in like Method.
Okay.
So it was like, so I just basically did a circle around Boston every day. I will tell you this. I love this job, this new job. It's the easiest fucking thing I've ever done. Like I sit in my truck and just listen. It's so fucking easy, man. Like, the only downfall is that I had a fucking Jeep Gladiator, which is garbage. Yay. Yeah, it was garbage. That was the rental car I got. That was the only fucking bummer. But
just when you thought they couldn't make a Wrangler shittier.
Dude.
They figured it out.
They figured it out.
We rented a Gladiator when we went to Virginia, right? No. We rented one somewhere.
Oh, where was that?
And then the next time we went there, we rented a Range Rover Defender, which was really nice,
actually. Yeah, fuck yeah.
That's true. It drove really good. Yeah. Where do we get that fucking Jeep?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I'm a huge Range Rover fan.
Oh, that's Michigan. Yeah.
Like anything made by.
Yeah. Oh, this is quality.
Yeah,
it's quality craftsmanship. Yeah.
Well,
but
they're very comfortable.
Yeah.
They're not the most reliable thing in the world, but fuck, they're nice.
It drove nice.
Oh yeah, no, when they're functioning.
When they go down, miles on it.
Yeah. So you were fine.
Yeah. When they go down, you better take out a second mortgage.
It's all those luxury brands.
Yeah.
That's like, it's really totally cheap to buy a used Mercedes, and then all of a sudden you have a $1,200 tune-up, and you're like, what the, excuse me?
And all they did was open the hood.
Yeah.
So I was in Boston for a week, and then I was home for 1 day, and then I flew. Then I picked up Dave here on Saturday morning and drove to Florida, right, and did the whole RSPD thing. But I got to tell you guys about week two, being in my first week at RCBT this time. You want to talk about, I got a pretty good fucking resume when it comes to combat, right?
Yeah.
Like I'm no slouch. I'm usually, oftentimes the big dick in the room when it comes to like, the combat resume. I was not shit this time, dude.
There's always a bigger fish.
Bro. Yeah. You want to talk about getting humbled, dude. This is my squad. All right. I was a squad leader for the training. This was my squad. First and foremost, Congressman Alan West was my student. That was his black hat, who, by the way, cool fucking dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Not Batman.
Not Adam West. That would have been awesome as well. R.I.P. But
also creepy as fuck.
Every time I
fucking
hear Adam West, I think a Family Guy.
But Alan West is
Mayor Adam.
He is a fucking good dude, man. Yeah. Just cool as shit. Fucking awesome. Guy was awesome. And then the rest of my squad was 9 of the 11 original Delta operators. The guys who did like Operation Eagle Claw, like into Iran and shit.
Oh, really?
9 of those 11 guys were my fucking squad members.
See, that was in 78?
Something like that. They were older. They're all in their 70s.
Yeah.
And they're like, let's jump. That's cool. Like, they were dope as shit. So those guys, Kyle Lamb from Mogadishu was a student. So Sergeant Major Kyle Lamb, I also, not Rick Lamb, but they're homies. But all of the horse soldiers, all of ODA 95595 was there. And dude, it was fucking at one point I just stopped and looked around and I was like, where the fuck am I right now, man? I was like, oh my God, dude, it was just so fucking cool. Just hanging out with those guys. And there's a lot of opportunity that's coming up for the show, as well as like, they unfortunately already partnered with a cigar company.
I know.
And I was like, damn.
It's not a good cigar.
Well, it's your old fucking.
I smoked it.
It's your old brand.
No, it's not.
It's a Florida Minicana fucking thing.
No, it's JC Newman, I think.
It's Newman.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I don't know. They mentioned both of those names, so I'm not sure. I do like how they did it, though. Like, the band is, like, already, it's, like, a prepared, so, like, you just color match the band with the
oh, really?
With the fucking bottle.
Oh, that's cool.
You know what I mean? So I did kind of like how they did that. That was kind of dope. But I didn't smoke any of the cigars because I had Warfighter sticks there. So, I'm going to represent for you, you know, always. Good fucking dudes, man. Good fucking dudes. And then week three, this last week, I wasn't a squad leader or anything. I was just kind of there as like a jump master and doing just work, right? But it was definitely another fucking banger of a week, which just like there was more fucking long tabs that I met the last fucking 2 weeks that just have such impressive fucking resumes. Yeah, so I got a bunch of skydives. No, I did a bunch of jumps. Got a bunch of cool skydives. Got foreign jump wings, foreign free fall wings from Honduras.
Oh, cool.
Which was dope.
Yeah.
I had a couple of visiting members from the Skyhawks, which is the Canadian military's version of like the Golden Knights.
Oh, yeah.
So fuck you, Quinn. I'm actually still fucking cooler than you in your own fucking country, douchebag. Fuck out of here. Yeah. So I got their wings as well. I literally
forget he exists until somebody brings him up.
I know, right?
I like you, Quinn.
And then I had a couple Canadian students actually too. Some good dudes. I had like a Canadian PJ.
How many times did they say sorry?
Dude, funny enough, one of them straight out of fucking like Letterkenny, man.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. Like hard yes. And I was dying. It was funny. I was sitting there talking to him and he's like, have you ever heard of that guy Angry Cops? and I just start laughing and I was like, yeah, yeah.
Talk to him a time or two.
Yeah, I think so. And then I attempted to FaceTime Rich at like 11 o'clock at night and I was drunk. So Rich, sorry, not that you're fucking going to watch this, but, well, yeah, it was a good time, man. I had a good time.
Speaking of Rich, he did reply. He said, I can come drive the fucking fire truck, but I have to stay in a parking lot.
Yeah.
So no dice.
Like not an apartment or anything.
I might have another avenue for that.
Well, I told you about, I fucking had that customer that came in and it turns out he's like the chief engineer for SAPD or SAFD station one, which is like,
it's like the main one, right?
The station where all the high speed shit. He actually brought me I like fire truck. He brought me a hat for Pierce.
That's Jazz's autism.
It is. Yeah. But,
Patriotism.
You weren't here for that one.
I saw the micro content. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. So, but Pierce makes my favorite fire trucks. Yeah. And so he brought me a hat like from Pierce fire trucks and stuff like that. And it was super dope of him. But he told me that anytime I want to come down and play with any truck in their fleet, I just have to show up.
I'm surprised you're here right now. Yeah.
I have been very busy.
Like when I found like the first time this conversation came up. All right. We all know and love Jazz, but let's be real. Jazz often bulldozes a conversation with logic.
What?
But the second I brought up fire trucks, I've never seen glee like that come out of that face.
They make me happy.
And I was like, holy fuck, dude. This is like a legit love, man. This is a passion. And he's like, uh-huh. Yeah. And I was just like, fucking A, dude.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
Buddy on NBFD, Braunfels Fire Department. So.
You let me fuck with fire truck?
Well, I got to take a fire truck down a runway in Belgium. So that was really fun.
Dude, yeah. I've ridden in one. I've been on a bunch of them when they're just like standing still. Because firefighters are fucking, they will absolutely show off their toys.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
If you go up and you show even a passing interest in a fire truck, they're just like,
you want to do the sirens and lights?
You want to do the sirens? You want to climb up there?
How about this?
Like, do you want to?
I'll turn the hose on.
Yeah.
How high can your ladder go? I'll show you. Come on.
Yeah.
Hop on.
They'll let you climb all over it. And they're the first ones to be like, no, you go do whatever the fuck you want to. Because if you break it, we have a severe issue because anything that you're going to go do isn't as bad as it being in service.
Yeah.
So
knock
stuff out. They are super cool about sharing their truck. I ride by the fire station because I live like a mile from one and I ride by it. And I've literally ridden by and like they've been out and I've like done this on my bike when I'm going by and they just start blaring all the horns and stuff. And I'm like, I'm a grown ass man still telling you to honk the horn on the fire truck.
The thing is, they don't know that.
Well, I'm on the, that's true.
John.
What?
I got us a little revenge yesterday.
Oh yeah? Uh-oh. How?
Well, as you guys know, I was driving back from Florida towing an RV in my Tacoma, getting a solid 8 miles per gallon.
Doing 65 in a left lane.
Now, when I talked to him, he was doing almost 80.
Only in front of truckers.
Fucking yeah. A.
And then me and another RV guy fucking did it. I did
you
the
had
fucking
a slow race on the highway.
The 1 mile an hour fucking faster thing. And the guy next to me laughing his ass off. And we both knew. I have no idea who this person was. Not even from Texas. He had like fucking like Georgia plates on or some shit. But we both fucking knew. And we were like, fuck these guys. And we fucking did it, man. It was awesome. And I was just like, redemption.
Speaking of traffic, it reminds me one more time I have to put this public service announcement out. Hazard lights are not for rain.
Mm. Oh my God.
You Amen. Fucking idiots. It's not for rain.
Amen.
It's raining on everybody. If everybody put their hazards on, nobody would know what anybody else was doing.
Yeah.
Stop it.
By the way, you've put your hazards on for me to see you, and now your blinkers don't work.
Yep. Yes.
Just so.
I ran into this yesterday. I didn't see rain the entire drive until I got to just outside of Houston.
Yeah.
Which is literally the worst possible moment to have rain.
I think we went through
it. It always rains.
Dude, it was like
they built that thing in a swamp.
20,000 feet.
Yeah. But like it was
Houston's built in a swamp.
It was like between Vider and Houston when I first hit rain. You know, and then it fucking rained all the way until I got into like Katy.
Because then that area that you just described is that's just Louisiana light.
Yeah.
You just haven't.
Yeah.
The highway's better, but it's still fucking, it's still just the bayou.
I did think it was funny. Did you guys get the video that I took of Dave stepping outside of the vehicle to have a cigar while we were stuck in traffic on the way there?
No.
Why? You wouldn't let him smoke in your truck?
I wouldn't let him smoke in our truck, in my truck, but.
Would you smoke in it?
No.
What?
No, I don't smoke in my truck.
Are you fucking saving it for the next guy or what?
Yeah.
Pussy.
So, anyways.
That was like the biggest transition though when he went from the Jeep to the truck, because I went and get in his truck for the first time and I think I had a cigar lit and I went and I'd ridden his
in my Jeep. I didn't give a fuck because I used to smoke cigarettes
and I got in it smoking. I went to get and he was like, you need to put that shit out, and I was like, well, I'll roll the window down. And he's like, no, you can't smoke.
He's like, nope.
And I was like,
huh,
yeah, I wouldn't want to hurt the resale value on your Tacoma.
You're right. That's correct. All right. The way it works is it's my truck.
I know.
Go fuck yourself.
I also put it out.
You did. You did.
Mikey, I just learned a lot about you today.
It's just that. Like, that's my bugaboo. Huh?
Good choice of words.
Right? Appropriate choice of words.
I thought that one through.
I don't know how anybody could fuck those two words up. That dude's a racist. There's no fucking.
It was such a smooth delivery.
Yeah,
that my favorite comment was like,
all the time.
Nobody says it that smooth unless you have used it recently.
Fucking A. And it's so real.
Because it was one of those such an old school racist terms. I forgot it was a thing until I saw that clip.
I already forgot what the word is.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I heard it like twice now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're not racist. You're just intolerant.
Okay.
Yeah, I could see that.
Mostly you just don't like people.
Yeah, you don't like people. I don't think it
I like people.
Really matters.
I know you like persons.
I figured it out. Right? Because I always used to say I fucking hate people. But I don't. I really like people. Like I really do. What I hate is I hate my expectation for how people should be in general.
This is remember me talking about my toxic trait?
Yeah.
My toxic trait is expecting people to not be fucking stupid.
That's it.
And then I'm mad at myself because they're still fucking stupid.
The internet pissed me off the other day. So there's certain things I like to watch on the internet because I just find them whatever.
Sure.
What's the big thing? Satisfying? Like all those videos that were running on of people like pulling the like screen protectors off of TVs and shit. And everybody likes that. So
I like that guy that rolls those fucking paint jars down the stairs
and they break
explode.
And
yeah.
So one of mine is I like watching people wrap cars.
Okay.
Like wrapping cars in vinyl and stuff like that. Cause it's like this big stretch and then they like hit it with a heat gun and then they just like fold it around the car and it's like, hey, that was slick.
Yeah.
Like
that is kind of nice.
I like that
thing, but it's with latex.
There you go.
Different website.
Different website.
Much different.
So, yeah. But because I watch some of that stuff, demo. Of course, my feed now wants to show me like anything that has to do with rapping. And one of them is a shop trying to sell vinyl or like, hey, come to us and we can get you this cool vinyl. I'm like, I don't care. So, but it was a dope car that they were rapping. And so they were talking about the film and I was just kind of watching it. And the guy went, well, this is black to red iridescent. And I was like, I'm done. I'm fucking, you're done. Lost I literally like blocked it. And I was like, nope. I was like, no, I don't care. You should have let somebody watch this. Like, because there's no way you've never heard the term iridescent.
Yeah.
It, like, iridescent.
You read this and you don't know how to read. That's what that is. Yeah.
Like, oh God, it's terrifying. It's terrifying. I'm worried about our leaders now. And then I look at the generation coming behind me that's eventually going to lead. And I'm like, fuck.
There's branding I saw at the trade show.
Oh, now this ought to be great.
For a, I don't know if it was a brand that launched or if it was a spinoff from somebody else or whatever, but the tagline was something along the lines of smoke like you're overseas or smoke like you're,
what was it?
Smoke like a foreigner.
Let's just say it's smoke like you're overseas because I can't remember the exact words, but it was Y-O-U-R. Smoke like your.
Right. I own the overseas.
Overseas.
Yeah.
Not my overseas. Your overseas. Overseas. Right. And it was on all the branding on the booth. It was on his shirt. It was on the flyers. It was on fucking everything. And at first I'm like, whose brand is that? And they're like, oh, it's this guy. And he walks over. And then at that moment, I was like, I don't really have the heart to tell this dude. Oh, but like.
You have to, though. You have to.
I did. Like, I just let it go.
Oh, God.
Nope. I just let it go.
I do want to give a shout out to someone.
Yeah.
Chris Raymond. Good old Chris.
He came by the bar before he moved.
Yeah.
Said hi.
He came by Palatka.
That didn't surprise me. He was on his way to Lauderdale.
On his way.
Yeah, we told him that he's going to be in the area, Mike. Nice.
Yeah. So he swung by.
Yeah, he saw everybody. We've actually, we got a goodbye gift from him. It's just not on the table right now, but he brought us a bottle of.
Hiding it in my office.
Yeah, he had mentioned.
I know where it is. Oh,
the basil that's in there?
Basil, yeah. He brought us a nice bottle.
Oh, he told me.
And
because he's Chris.
Yeah.
But I play video games with Chris, so I've been talking to him the whole time. He's there. He's settled. First day of work was yesterday. So when you listen to this, bud, I hope everything's like, going on.
Well, I kind of felt bad because he had hit me up the night before and we were supposed to have a weather day. It was supposed to be a real shitty day. And I was like, I probably have some time to hang out and fuck around. Well, it turned out because the only thing more bipolar than fucking Florida man is the weather there. It turned out to be a great jump day. So I was working the whole time. Right. So I'm sitting there like talking to him while like I'm doing JMPIs and shit while he's like standing there and shit. Right. At one point,
so you know, the other day, hold squat, and then we went over.
Yeah, so like literally, like there was a female jumper, and I'm doing the fucking JPI on her, and as I'm doing the fucking checking leg straps, I in the middle of my JPI, I just look at Chris, I go, "You say a fucking word to this about this to Haley, I'm gonna beat your ass." And it was just like, you know, I was just working, you know, like. But I thought it was fucking cool that he stopped by. So thanks, buddy. I appreciated it.
Yeah, unfortunately, he stopped by here like the day after our big St. Patty sale, and we were so
busy.
Didn't hardly hang out. But
yeah, he brought me a flag for one of his like online groups that he wants me to jump in my pocket in Normandy.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna have all the guys in the drop zone sign it and shit for him and stuff. So
sweet.
Yeah, man, it was cool, dude.
I'm gonna give you a Warhammer mini to jump into Normandy.
Let me know. I'll do it.
Put it back in my army.
Yeah, you're gonna have like a backpack of flags to jump.
I have a bunch of shit. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Right. Yeah. Just take that big flag you have in your normal backpack and put these flags in there.
Just sew them all together.
I'm just
gonna hang a flag and say you jumped it into Normandy.
I do got a little bit
just
more
scribble on it a bunch
more info too. About my Normandy jumps. I'm gonna be a jump master on one of the jumps into I believe Saint Marguerite.
Nice.
And then Mache Michelle, I'm a jumping safety for, which is dope. And then I'm going to be a skydiving safety into one of the other fucking drop zones.
I just love that this is expensive LARP.
It's commemorating.
So you're role playing as the guys that jumped into it,
and you're not
doing
at all.
And you're doing it live action?
No, not at all.
That's LARP.
It would be LARP, but that's not at all what they're doing.
It's only LARP if he hits the ground and starts killing a bunch of people.
Yeah, if I jump down and start fucking going pew 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 and lightning bolts, then I would say yeah.
You're gonna LARP. Put a costume in and jump into a reenactment of a combat zone. That's live action role play.
It's not a reenactment though, because we're actually jumping into a combat zone. I'm not using a fucking foam sword to sword fight people.
We just now figured out the exact meaning of patriotism.
It's still role playing.
It's not though, because I'm not trying to be like them.
The Ren Faire is role play. That's mm-hmm. LARPing.
100%.
Yeah. I think you dress up and you go to a fair and act like you're in medieval times.
Like I would.
Eat steak on a stick and turkey legs.
I would admit
and you fucking drink mead. Like, I would admit that it's cosplay.
It's totally role play.
Yeah, I would admit that it's cosplay to an extent,
which is role play.
Yeah, this is
something wrong.
Tomato.
But at the same time,
cosplay is just expensive role playing. Those motherfuckers have so much money wrapped up in that shit.
But it's also, this is a sport. Like that's what it is. Like, I mean, I can do without all the fucking hooah bullshit that RCBT has, because when it comes down to it, we're doing a sport. You're jumping out of planes. It's just like,
I've never heard somebody defend LARPing so much.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it's definitely real.
Yeah. I don't know. Here's my take on it. 80 years ago, the world got saved by really brave fucking men and women. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm paying homage to them.
Yeah, it doesn't mean we can't give a shit.
I'm not trying to be them.
It's a commemorative thing.
Yeah. It's
I think commemorative and
yeah, but the same guys that go do like the Civil War reenactment to keep that history alive and stuff, those are role playing. Yeah,
like, but it's okay, Mikey. In 2 weeks, we're gonna go dive, and there's gonna be a DevGru guy down there diving.
Yeah,
and so essentially we're LARPing like we're Navy SEALs.
We're gonna be pretending to be Navy SEALs.
Yeah, still LARPing.
I think that's only if we have guns and rebreathers and shit.
hair.
You know the shitty part about all the guys that are in like special operations that do all the diving and rebreather certs and have fucking a million hours on a rebreather? Those rebreathers aren't like civilian capable.
Yeah.
When you get certified on rebreathers, you're certified on a specific rebreather.
No shit. It's like that brand, a specific model, and that's how you get the cert.
And that's what you get to use. They're all slightly different.
They do the same thing for tandem instructors.
Yeah.
You get certified on a certain parachute system. Yeah. You can't use like another dude's tandem fucking parachute system.
When these guys get out, they have all this experience, but they have to start day one. And you need 100 hours on a rebreather, a minimum, to become an instructor for rebreathing.
Yeah.
So even though these guys have thousands of hours of doing this shit, or however long they have.
Well, the smart thing would be to say, buy the one the military uses.
We can't.
It's like 40 grand.
And rebreathers are not cheap, but the ones the military use, But there's only like two or three really popular ones that people use too.
Yeah, I was talking to Nick about it yesterday. Yeah. He was telling me the same thing, because I guess rebreathers got like three
are Star Wars canon. So if you're diving with a rebreather, you're just Star Wars LARPing.
That is Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Which came first, Star Wars or rebreathers?
Rebreathers.
Sci-fi almost always beats real tech. Go watch old Star Trek, and everything they're reading on is those ultra-thin tablets, and that's what they're reading on and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, you got iPads later. Rebreathers came first.
Was other animals' internal pieces that they would use, and they'd fill it up with air, and they'd use that to breathe in and out of before, like, scuba became scuba.
Yeah. Huh. Using like sheep gut and shit.
Yeah, like stomachs or lungs or other shit that seals and holds air. And
it's essentially just before we came up with an acronym, because that is still technically a self-contained underwater breathing. 100%. Which is,
they just didn't know that they just didn't have a coin.
Yeah. They just didn't have a,
like, this is how I fish.
1878 was the first rebreather.
Yeah. That is a interesting.
Oh. I mean, there's probably sci-fi back then, but they didn't.
Mary Shelley actually holds the title of the inventor of sci-fi with Frankenstein.
And when was that?
Late 1800s.
Yeah, 1880s, I'd say.
Mary Shelley actually gets the title for the inventor of sci-fi.
I don't know. When did Frankenstein come out there, Justin?
1920s.
It's 1800s.
1818.
Wow. 1818. Wow. That was way fucking off.
Did she talk about rebreathers?
You were 100 years off.
How did it come out? As a play?
As a book.
As a book.
Oh, a book.
The first film was released in 1931.
Yeah, okay. But the book came out.
I was thinking the movie.
But Mary Shelley actually gets the title for the inventor of sci-fi.
Huh.
But yeah, if you're putting on a costume to go do something else,
yeah,
to reenact that, then that's role play. And you're doing it live action, so that's LARPing.
And we don't kink shame. Role play, go for it.
I disagree, but I hear your argument. Because I feel like when you
just don't like the acronym application.
Well, I feel like when you're LARPing, you're not risking anything. Whereas I'm still risking physical fucking harm by jumping, right? Like,
the guys that do the European martial arts.
I'm not getting shot at.
Guys that do Emma, the European medieval martial arts stuff, and they're wearing steel and getting hit with a fucking sword.
Yeah.
They're risking, that's still LARP.
See, I wouldn't even call that LARP. I think that's more like a sport.
Nobody is saying that they are mutually exclusive.
I don't think what you're doing is a sport. What are you competing?
There is not really much of a competitive nature there.
No.
Well, it's just like skydiving is a sport. I don't really compete with that.
People just give it the sport title. Sure, it's physically demanding.
No, it can be a sport.
Well, it can be physically demanding.
So I have a way different definition of skydiving than a sport.
Yeah.
You what?
Skydiving. It's. I mean, you could classify it as a sport if you want. But the reality, when you break it down to the basics of it, you're committing suicide and then saving your own life.
Yeah.
Every single time you jump out of a plane, you're like, fuck it. And then you're like, just kidding.
I jumped a chute that a 14-year-old kid packed for me.
Yeah. So all that is, that's just how good is your timing. That's a.
Yeah.
Well, it's a win or lose.
They say scuba is a sport too.
Yeah, but there's no competitive there, is there?
Well,
like is there competitive scuba?
I don't know. I saw that one video of you during your fucking
the shit beat out of me.
That looks
underwater UFC. Yeah.
That looked
I'm gonna give you sport on that one.
That's a stress dive for your dive master.
Yeah. I saw that video.
It was really fun.
That looked sport-esque.
That's why I was asking you if anyone's doing their dive master on this trip. And I was like, I fucking can't wait.
You just wanna fuck with people.
Oh my god.
You'll get your chance because apparently I'm tapped jump? For it.
Well, because there's a handful of things that you can do underwater that completely defines if somebody's comfortable or not.
Yeah, sure. And but like, now apply that to skydiving. It's like, you're going to jump out and then six dudes are going to come and just fuck with you the whole fucking time you're going down.
The biggest difference is during that stress test, if that guy freaks the fuck out, I can hand him my spare rig and he's going to be totally fine.
Well, you have safety.
If we do the same thing with a skydiver, I can't be like, oh, just kidding, bro. Let me clip into you real quick and I got you. I mean, you could in theory, but that's not how reality works.
Let me come down and just remove your rig for you midair.
Now put it back on before you hit the ground. Ready? Go.
Hey, Travis Pastrana did it and he was fine.
Yeah, that's true.
Travis Pastrana is also fucking psychotic.
Yeah.
Do you see that?
He's a monster, but psychotic.
There's this video that's been coming across my feed lately, and it's this dude that he filmed skydiving. And he was so excited to film this jump that they were doing that he went out with the guys that jumped and he did have a shoot on.
Yeah.
They didn't realize it until he already left the plane.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how the fuck do you get in the fucking plane knowing you're about to jump without having a shoot on?
This is actually the problem I have with almost every skydiver I've always met.
But I believe he died.
Well, he didn't make any more videos after that.
Present company excluded. I know you're very safety oriented, but most of the skydivers I have met, I get it. Like, you can kind of get comfortable with your hobby, and there's things that you can argue are just muscle memory.
Complacency kills.
That's with anything.
And the problem I have with skydivers is that it can get too fucking casual with these people, and it's in any of those kind of extreme sports, skydiving, the guys that do like the big mountain snowboarding and shit like that. And they're
like those huge wave surfers and shit.
And they kind of don't check themselves. And it's like, I'll figure it out. And it's like, yeah, you know what though? Gravity doesn't give a fuck.
Gravity is always on.
Oops.
I will say that the circles that I jump in, like every one of them, even like my fucking big stoner buddies that are fucking clearly high all the time and fucking like, you know, like, but they're skydivers. The only time I see them being serious is
when they're going to go jump. Yeah.
You know, and which I appreciate, you know, because you're right. There's class out there we call those sky trash.
Yeah.
All right. That's sky trash. You know what I mean? It's like,
it's amazing how that trash term pops up all the time. Cause you can find like ski trash and all that kind of stuff.
It's a pretty universal term. And as soon as you say it, you get it. Like, you're like, ah.
I went snowboarding one time and left with a concussion. And then you watch these other dudes that are like, yeah, I'm not checking shit. Yeah. I know like there's a massive avalanche warning, but
yeah,
it's not going to happen to me. And it's like, okay.
I tell students this all the time. I'm like, because the especially ones that are scared when the door opens, I'm like, listen, man, if you're not scared when that door opens, you're not a person. You know, day that your butthole stops puckering, stop jumping.
Yeah. I'm afraid until I'm under canopy.
Yeah.
Once for static line, once that opens and I'm like, oh, like, ha, fucking made it.
Yeah, right?
You know what I mean?
Because after that, it's like, okay, now I'm the master of my own destiny.
That's it. That's on me.
Yeah.
But until then, I'm relying on so much other shit.
Like I just got a brand new rig, right? Yeah. Like a brand new container and all this. And it's fucking like literally Art put it together for me in Palatka this time. And I jumped it for the first few times. I've got like
a free fall rig.
Yeah. And it's fucking dope. It's black multicam. It's fucking awesome. Yeah. It's super comfortable. It feels like I'm getting hugged.
Oh,
so that means I'm not wearing like student shit anymore and all this. And it's like, it's a nice feeling to have your own gear. Right. And, even jumping that, like, with the level of comfort, like I wanted to pull a little high because I wanted to make sure and you know like, and all this, so I pulled it like $6,000 my first jump with it, and which is extremely high, you know.
I like six
of like I normally pull it like 3.8,
yeah,
you know, so it comes out by about four or by about two ish, you know, because you usually get about 4 second snivel or whatever. I pulled it like $6,000 on this one, and it was because I wanted to feel it. I wanted to steer. I wanted to see how the canopy control worked and all this and stuff. And it was great. It's fucking awesome. It was just, you know, there is a level there where it's like, for that fucking brief moment, you're like,
I'm not jump certified, but I grew up in an airborne household. And like you go through all the, and literally one of the stages of the jump is literally like you look up and check canopy, like
check canopy gain, canopy control. Yep.
That is your second point of performance.
It's like a whole thing. And so,
and that's the same in squares. Is it there? Is it square? Can I steer it?
Yeah. And you know, that whole, like what you said, it's like, I'm not comfortable till I am literally the canopy and I'm now sort of in control I descend.
You're, yeah.
100%. And it's only pseudo control. Like you were still at the mercy, yeah, the mercy of gravity and wind. Yeah,
yeah.
Like
that. Oh yeah. Well, that's why like I look at these guys who jump like T10s, T11s, and like they're like, we want to jump these for fun. I'm like, no, dude, these are made for mass tacks, man. These aren't made for fun jumps.
They're not them
anymore.
Like, I mean, well, the 82nd Airborne does because it's the only way they could mass tack people, right? But because you had steer bowls with that group of fucking morons.
Oh my god,
holy shit.
Yeah. I've like, seen that shit happen in Bragg, and these are the dudes that jump them and cut them and open just because they can.
Yeah,
but
like with the shit that I jump, like MC1s, MC6s, SF10s, and as far as rounds go, those are all steerable canopies, man. Like set 10, set 10 XLs, you can steer these. And what's funny is like you can't break them like you can a sport rig, because really your brakes are the wind. That's why you need to know which fucking direction the wind's coming.
You gotta go
turn
into the wind.
And that's what slows your shit down. But that's the most control you have.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, that's why with the square, it's like a little bit different. You have more control.
Well, I think the difference is you can fly a square.
Yeah.
You can turn in a round one.
Correct.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's not really steerable. It's,
you can turn in a steerable, but you can't, if you're jumping around,
you can climb the riser.
You can literally have fucking nylon in your hand and that fucking still,
well, that's,
yeah, I didn't go, I didn't change direction.
I like how the airborne infantry guy in the corner is literally like, yeah,
I've climbed a few risers in my day and that shit don't do fuck all.
How many jumps did you have? Military before you went and did into the civilian
somewhere
sector
around 50.
Yeah
that's enough to go, which is why RCVT is fucking awesome, because that was the first time I ever, or the second or third time I ever jumped steerable, and that shit's fucking
it's so much nicer, dude.
Yes.
And the landing soft,
and you're only jumping with like 3-4 other people, unless you're jumping like the Tico, and then you're still only with like 10 other people.
Or you're jumping a Cessna.
Well, we had two birds this time. We had 247s. So we were doing fucking like dual pass.
Oh, yeah, really?
Like, those videos look sick.
They were dope. It was dope, man. Well, the horse soldiers, they kicked a barrel. Like they did a barrel pass. And like I was in the DZ and just doing the math and trying to figure it out. And like, you know, like,
yeah.
I mean, it was me and John Hofstetter. We were there. And he was like, where do you think they're going to land? I was like, one's going to land here. One's going to land here. And sure as fuck. Boom, boom. And those, they kicked them out on T10s.
Yeah.
You know, they had, because RCBT does have T10s now. They use them for water jumps.
Yep. Because it doesn't matter.
Who gives a shit, right? Like, yeah, you're landing in the water. Who gives a fuck? Like, oh, you did a downwind landing in the water? Oh, okay. Boo, boo, boo.
Yeah. Did it hurt?
Like, no. Okay. No, you're fine. Like, right? Like,
speaking of water, I think we got to talk about this Baltimore thing. Mm.
Before that, I've been dying to know, where did you put your finger that it didn't belong?
Oh, well, after 2 weeks of 3 weeks of not being around my wife, I went to go in for a shocker and it just fucking, she clenched.
Yep. You know, that's like, fair.
That makes sense.
No, actually, all the jumping and crazy shit I did, I tripped on a bicycle. Like, wasn't riding the bike.
Yeah.
I tripped and stepped on a bike that was laying behind me that I didn't know was there. And rather than getting impaled by the pegs, it was a BMX bike. I decided to bail this way, and it's not been confirmed that it's broken, but I'm pretty sure. Like, it's
whatever. They heal.
It'll heal.
They heal a little twisted. It's like something. I've got
shit'll buff.
It's like I've got fingers that broke it.
Fucking sting though. I'll give it that. But steady diet of Motrin and Jameson's have been helping out.
Yeah. So let's get back to Mikey's hometown.
So. Here's one thing.
I love it because that hand's broke, so you can't hit me with it.
here's one thing I want to say to this, to all of our listeners, and I'm already seeing memes on our page and stuff like that. We don't know what happened, and Americans lost their lives in this accident. So if we could knock off the pilot was taking selfies or whatever the fuck until we figured out why these Americans died for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
That would be a class fucking act.
Because these are construction workers. These aren't fucking...
Yeah, they were construction workers. Apparently like 20 or 30 cars. Because it was like 3 a.m. or something like that. One bit of water.
Maybe. There's 6 people.
And so, but people are now dead. And we don't know why.
And what sucks is like their families are waiting at the fucking gas station by the beginning of the bridge. Yeah, like waiting for them and shit.
Maybe we hold off on the whole making fun of who was piloting the ship until we figure out why these Americans are dead. And then we can... go with the jokes, but until then, let's
get the why out of the way.
Let's figure out what the fuck actually happened.
I believe it was on purpose, but we will never know the real reason why. And the reason that I think it was on purpose is the track that ship took from when it left port. Well, you got to think of from when it left port, because it left port inland from where the bridge was.
Yeah, it left port in Baltimore Harbor,
right? And so it pulled out of port. It did a big ass U-turn to head towards the bridge. It was on a straight line in about, I don't know, a minute 45 before it actually impacted.
It started
to change direction.
I'm not saying you're
wrong. Now, if you talk to anybody that has anything to do with a ship of that magnitude, and you ask them, if you lose power, can you change course like that ship did? And they're going to be like, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
Physics is a thing.
Well, so there was a question. I was listening to it on the way here. And they said there was a question about whether or not they dropped anchors
to try to
stop
steer it,
not steer it, but stop it. But
yeah,
and then they like completely lost power 3 minutes before they hit the bridge. Like all the lights went out and everything. So I don't know. But
And there's other stuff. Like you look at like what happened with the canal when the boat got stuck because the pilot didn't know what they were doing and shit. Like so shit happens. But Americans are now dead because of it.
It was crazy how that bridge crumbled though.
It's an old fucking bridge,
it's
man.
It's an old bridge.
I've been on the Key Bridge for a while.
How much do you think that ship weighed?
Well, they said it was 100 yards smaller than an aircraft carrier.
But it was full of containers. Sheer weight.
Yeah.
And if you take out a center mass on... And essentially, they did hit center mass on the bridge and it dropped it.
Because there's only two big main supports. Everything else is smaller supports. The they hit one of the main supports.
And it's all cable
is,
supports.
Now, you know that city pretty well.
Yeah.
That bridge is not the suburbs feed Baltimore with that inlet running.
It's a major intercourse.
That bridge is part of an interstate highway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's 695.
I believe it is.
I think it's 695.
295.
There's something. It's one of the two. There's something like 13 million there, vehicles that is, pass that bridge every year.
That is a major interstate. Yep. That bridge is no longer functioning on to one of our major cities.
And not only that, Baltimore is a major port that is now huge. Closed.
Yeah. It's definitely. Because as an intermodal port, so an intermodal port means that things come into there, they get put on trucks, and then they go back out and typically would get on the major interstate in order to get goods and services from that intermodal port to where the fuck it's supposed to go. That port now no longer has direct access.
Which if this was an attack.
To a major highway.
That's infrastructure.
That's an infrastructure attack. But again, I say, if you were going to put funny memes out about the fact that this happened, fucking pump your brakes until we have some more information. There's dead Americans that are involved with this.
Because it could be an attack.
And this could be something
more serious. My comments on how it was amazing how it crumbled wasn't to be like conspiratorial that it was an attack. It just like I would have guessed that like part of it would have fell and then the rest of it would have been unstable.
Yeah.
But that fucking thing came down in seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's crazy.
Which fucking terrifies me how many times I've been on that fucking bridge, man. Right.
Because like, I don't know how long it is. It looked like maybe half mile.
It's a mile and a half.
Yeah, it's pretty long.
Mile and a half.
Yeah, it's pretty long.
Maybe. But like Mikey said, there's only two major supports in it. Everything else is just kind of a regular, like a support.
It looked to me like, because I'm not familiar with it, but it looked to me like it was cable supported.
It is a cable. It is what's known as a suspension bridge. Yeah. So it's mostly cable supported. But when you take out the middle of it,
it's kind of the fucking meat and potatoes there, man. Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. So.
And it's named for Francis Scott Key. They put that bridge there.
In 1977. I had to look it up earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. It's 1,200 feet.
But they say that
is the main span.
That bridge is about the approximate area that the ship that he was being held on when he wrote the national anthem. That's where that ship was like.
So the total length is 1.6 miles. Okay.
So you can see Fort McHenry from that.
Yeah.
The longest span is 1,200 feet.
Yeah,
longest span between supports.
Yeah, yeah.
The bridge.
Yeah, that's the main span, and they hit the one of the main supports.
Yeah, and so it doesn't really matter. You take out something where you only have two major supports, and you've got 1,200 feet of bridge on either side.
Did you
guys coming down.
See or hear Biden's press conference about this?
No. I can't watch him anymore.
I didn't watch him, but I just read the Cliff Notes on it, and so one of the things that sticks out to me is he said in his press conference that the United States government will pay the entirety to replace that bridge. Why isn't that ship's shipping or insurance company paying for it?
It sounds to me because it's a Singaporean ship.
That doesn't matter.
It sounds to me like Singapore should be paying for a fucking bridge.
No. If you're in your car right now and you go hit a fucking telephone pole, guess who's fucking paying
for it? However, my Texas registration is a far cry from how ships and their country registration.
Oh, 100%.
That ship is not owned by Singapore. That's like
they have insurance.
Sure, but if you buy a private plane.
Yeah.
And you crash your private plane, is the United States responsible for your private plane?
No, my insurance.
Wait, hold on. But you would have an American flag on the side of it. Is the country responsible for your private
I'm not
aircraft?
Saying Singapore should be responsible for it.
But he's saying the shipping company.
And their insurance.
And their insurance
company.
And I guarantee they'll be gone after for it.
Yeah.
No, but because Biden said the U.S. government is.
Okay, but the U.S. government's a fucking idiot.
It is, but I guarantee you that they're going to. Why even say it?
That's like I've had one attempted lawsuit on my store with that guy that.
Yeah.
Claimed he got injured trying to open my bathroom door. And my employee went to go like, oh my God. And I was like, stop talking. And the first thing we did is that I asked, are you okay?
Yeah.
Can I get you some water? Can I make you more comfortable? We never once said,
I'm sorry
this happened. Yeah. How do we help? You just shut your fucking mouth until everything's fucking done. And then when he tried to sue me, my insurance company came in and asked me, how do you want to handle this? And my response was, sue his grandchildren into debt. And the Hartford Insurance Group said, don't worry, our lawyers are on it.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Our idiot government running their fucking mouth before the rest of the information came out because they thought it would make a good tweet.
Yep.
That's where we're at. because now they've claimed responsibility. Mm-hmm. Well, at least fiscal responsibility for it.
Right.
But you can't look at Singapore because that's where the ship was from and go.
I didn't even know that was where the ship was.
And well, that was all over the, it's just like, well, it's registered in Singapore. And I'm like, yeah. Okay. They registered that fucking thing wherever the best tax rate was for running that fucking ship. They don't actually give a shit
where it's from. I think the insurance company, because fuck them, should be responsible for that bridge because what a fucking racket insurance is.
Anything and everything that burns insurance, I'm 100% with you.
Yeah.
Because fuck them. My old State Farm agent, well, her handler tried to call me and was like, you haven't been with us for a couple of years. We wonder if we could re-quote you or whatever. And I was like, as soon as you have my actual agent from State Farm call me and explain to me why every month my bill changed and consistently went up with a new fucking excuse,
yeah,
then maybe I'll let you re-quote me. So you have her call me. Oh, all right, I'll pass the notes on. Guess who I've never heard from?
Right.
Yeah. Insurance is a fucking racket.
Yeah.
And yeah, so if you can get the insurance for, Jesus, current tax rate, current rates on rebuilding a mile and a half long bridge.
Yeah.
Sure. Bankrupt whatever fucking company had that fucking insurance policy.
Mm-hmm. I just saw the video of
our government paying for it. We can't pay for anything else. We're broke.
Right.
That's like, what I mean. Like, we're spending $1 trillion a year in interest on it.
Maybe Ukraine should pay for our bridge. They can afford it.
You know, never mind.
Yeah, it's nuts. But,
oh, I got a story.
Oh, fuck. Hell yeah.
I was at the show and a Kuwaiti guy came up to me.
By the way, this is.
Oh, I was at the trade show.
This is a cigar trade show.
Cigar trade
show. We keep saying show, but it's the cigar trade show where the Warfighter boys were all last week.
PCA.
By the way, did it go well?
It went okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. The this Kuwaiti guy comes up to me and he's like, decent English, but a little broken. And he's like asking me about the cigars. And he's like, oh, what is Warfighter? You know, I'm like, well, we're veterans and it's Warfighter. He's, oh, it probably wouldn't be a very good brand for Kuwait. I said, oh, maybe not. You know, he's like, oh, he's like, that's a dumb market. Like nobody likes veterans, you know?
Well, he's not.
And I'm like, well, maybe in Kuwait, you know, I said, but you know, here, it's a little different.
Yeah.
You know? And then we got into this fucking discussion about Israel and Palestine and right. And he's like, you know, essentially it was like, you know, he followed up with how many people did you kill? And I said, and you know, coming from a Kuwaiti guy, like whatever, you know? So I said, well, I probably saved more than I killed. And he's like, he has this look on his face. Like, well, I don't know how to argue that. And then it got into like, you know, well, the government's corrupt. And I agreed with him. And he's like, you know, why does the US government help in Israel? And I said, I don't know. You know, I said, whatever. And so he asked me another question. He's like, you know, he said, all the innocent people getting killed in Gaza and, you know, Israel is like the bad guy. And I said, well, what would you do right now if I punched you right in the face? You know, and he's like, what do you mean? I said, Israel didn't start this fight. I said, they punched Israel in the face and Israel's fighting back, you know. They're tired of getting punched in the face.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I'll agree to disagree, but you know, it's not Israel's land. I'm like, I'm not even going down this road with you, man. You know? And so we shook hands and parted ways, but it was kind of a weird conversation from a, you know, there's one Kuwaiti in that whole show.
Yeah.
You know, it was just weird, but
they're always at that.
Well, what's weird to me is like,
but I've never,
you would think a Kuwaiti would
that's,
be like,
that's the first person I've ever met. That's like
pretty sure in 91, we saved their country.
You're right.
Right.
Like, that's not how they track history.
Yeah.
But I saw a video the other day. It's actually on this vein and it confused the shit out of me. And so it was this. There's like a huge trend now of people going onto college campuses and just like doing these like on the street random interviews with college students.
Yeah.
The one I really like is there's this one dude that just keeps flying back and forth between Brigham Young University and Liberty University. And he just flies back and forth and just asks the students like what their favorite rules are. And
yeah.
You know, would you rather have $5 million or 5 minutes with Joseph Smith? Or like just these weird ass, like, entertains the shit out of me. Anyways, but I saw another one. It's not the same guy. And this guy was on this campus and finds this, I'm not going to lie. I don't know who she is, but she is a smoke show.
Yeah.
Redhead. I mean, just
nice.
Yeah. checking all the boxes.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And she's Jewish. And I guess like she put something, he put something out. There was this huge response of like, who is she? She's incredible. Da, 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 da. So we went and found her again. He was like, and she goes, I don't really like your, the comments on your stuff. I don't like how you handled the interview. Like she was very honest about the fact that like, you obviously did this for views and I don't fucking like it.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, well then in your own words, what is your, what would you like to say to my followers? And she was like, be kind to another and free Palestine. And she went, and he went, well, you're Jewish. And she was like, yep. And I was like, this is the danger of it, that college age accepted default morality.
Yep.
Without knowledge. Like that's the danger. And it's like, so
well, it's just regurgitation of their fucking
And that's the problem. And
professors.
So I can't remember who said it, but there's a guy that said that there's no such thing as an old liberal.
Right.
Like liberal is a luxury of the young.
Maybe I'm looking at it from a different angle, but Israel is trying to free Palestine right now.
Yeah.
They are
freeing the fuck out of them.
No, from a fucking grip of a terrorist organization.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's true.
But that's because the Jews are awesome.
They are.
So
Jews are awesome.
I know I said that on the show and everybody thinks it's a joke. That whole community has been nothing but fucking, every interaction I've ever had with that community has been awesome. My friends that are Jewish, business dealings that I've had, like the whole nine yards, they're all fucking great.
Yeah.
People don't know how to deal with them because they're almost too honest. And they kind of don't know what to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah. What is this, like, velvet?
Yeah. But like you have a whole side of your family and you kind of understand what I'm talking about. We're like, unless you can deal with that level of just.
Because some of it you're like, you just.
Did you say that out loud?
That. Like, oh, shit.
Holy fuck.
But then you think about it and they're like, well, they're not wrong.
They're not wrong. It's like the phrasing may be a little rough.
Yeah.
But the
I hung out with one of our favorite Israelis, Emery.
There's a prime example of a man that is probably too honest for his own fucking good.
Fucking A.
Emery, I fucking love you, buddy, and I can't wait to fucking see you again. But,
but he
bro.
He will freely be like, my favorite thing to do, kill Muslims. It's just like, God damn, bro. He's like, I don't like Arabs.
This motherfucker. And he teaches shooting, like how to be better. And mostly as a sport, this isn't even necessarily how to make yourself more lethal.
He's upgraded.
It does.
Recently.
It does.
He's been going back to Israel and helping.
Look, what Emery does and what Emery teaches are two different things.
Facts.
But what mostly Emery teaches is if you were really into like two gun or three gun sport, if you just want to be better at the sport of shooting.
Yeah.
Which does have a competitive element. So we're going to give it the sport. But I got the nod from Scott. He's going, yeah, shooting.
So if you go to the range by yourself, is it still a sport?
No.
Nope, that's masturbatory.
Okay, I'm into that.
I like to masturbate. It's fine.
Yeah. Play with yourself. Play with a friend.
Yeah.
Play with masturbation.
Yeah. that's
just
rudder.
That's just gay then.
Can we please start that contest?
What?
So it's a two-gun competition, but your transition has to be done by your friend.
I am so confused and slightly turned on right now.
Mikey got it. And look at Mikey's face right now. He knows because he could picture him and I doing it, just going like, buddy.
I need a pistol.
Are there firearms involved in this?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, that just ruined it for
John me. Wanted a friend that was transitioning.
Yeah, that ruined it for me. It's a two-gun competition.
No, it's two-gun. You got to think, it's shooting, but like the movie Ghost.
Well, I mean, he did get a vasectomy.
I'm just saying.
These aren't blanks, though.
Yeah, we need to coordinate this whole thing. This could be the first Freedom Friends shootout.
Oh,
yeah. Mikey.
Hey, bro, rack this for me.
We need to reload.
I just unloaded my gun.
I need you to come over here and check my sight picture.
How's my alignment?
You're a little to the left, bud.
Can't confirm.
But Emory mostly teaches it as the sport of shooting.
Probably also in a gay way.
But like even the couple of tips he gave me, he was like, no, what you're doing is shit. And I'm like...
I hit the target. I'm
like, really? Because up to this point, it's been pretty effective. And he's like, no, shit. That's,
are you talking Emory or Rosin?
Emory. That's how Emory handled it.
Because Rosin is...
He's a shit.
That dude's fucking...
And then
he's so fucking good.
Yeah, he spent 5 minutes, actually did improve my shooting. And yeah. I was like, okay, we're leaving for tacos now, right?
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, okay, bud.
Yeah. No, they're definitely good. They're good at what they do. And I'll give them a plug. If you guys want to learn more about Emory and what they're doing, head over to Tactical Rifleman, Carl and his crew. They do good shit. Matter of fact, they're in Texas right now. They might be in the area, actually.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good guys.
Yeah.
Anyways, this gone on long enough. Yep. Mikey, do it.
But it was nice to see you guys all again.
Oh.
And nice all you fuckers at home, it's good to be back. Like, share, subscribe, smash those buttons. Tell your mom.
Tell your friends.
Tell your fucking mom's friends. Let them bitches know. There's a mediocre show out there that, I don't know. We're here.
We don't know.
We don't know either. Three little things. They're not really hard to do. Oh, you know what? Before that, I'm going to raise my glass. I saved just enough for the toast.
Same.
Cheers, boys. Thanks for
being I did learn something about toasting.
Oh.
You have to toast with your left hand and make eye contact with the person you're toasting.
Who said that?
The Mexican culture.
So I met these two guys from Mexico City. So the next time I go to Mexico City, Manolo and Serge, heads up, guys. But the great dudes, they do tequila and whiskey.
We'll let them steer, but yep, we'll power the.
They own the Casa 1910 Lounge in Mexico City, and which is affiliated with the brand Casa 1910. Nice. Just great dudes. We hung out with them for like 3-4 hours drinking, talking shit, making jokes,
yeah,
and then. Found out that they live in Mexico City. And I was like, I was just there. And he's like, oh, next time you come to my house, I make you dinner. I'm like, bro, don't tell me that.
Fucking say less, bro. Fucking say less.
Which dude is also a prime example of the fact that go travel and meet other fucking people.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, like, dude, get the fuck out of here.
That little echo chamber that you exist in, go fucking fix that shit. Find some people that.
Yeah. Find some perspective.
View some other things.
But like, this is one of the things I really love about the cigar industry, right? So they're with another brand. Right. And the guy's like, you come down to Mexico City, I will close down our lounge and I will bring in alcohol vendors and I will bring in food and we will hang out there and smoke and drink and eat all night long. I'm like, dude, you don't have to close the lounge down. He goes, no, I want you to have this experience. Well, I'm not going to fucking say no. You know what I mean? Like, right, I'm in. Let's go.
biggest thing I miss about the cigar industry is, so like, just take this table. If we were all in the industry and the four of us were all from different brands, the table still looks like this.
Yeah,
cigars.
And the show would still sound like this.
Yeah.
And we've all handed each other shit from our brands. We're all drinking, and there is zero animosity. Like, it is just it's a little bit in the sales crew, I'm not going to lie, on this, but that's
their job. It's competitive.
That's their job. Yeah. They're supposed to be competitive. But, God, the show, one of the big things I miss about the show was it was the one time a year where you saw all your friends.
Yeah.
And you're all technically competitors and you don't really meet competitors there. Like everything.
Yeah.
They're all your friends and they're from all different walks of life, all different viewpoints, all different products, all different everything. And I've been saying it for 20 fucking years, but cigars are, it's the great equalizer. I've never seen anything like it.
Right.
To where it's a, oh, you smoke cigars?
Oh, we're friends now.
Yeah, we're friends now. Like it's over. We're just friends. I mean, fuck, that's how I became friends with Warfighter. I heard there was another friend of mine said that there's a cigar company coming to San Antonio. And I sent a message. It was like, used to be in the industry. Absolutely love it. Would love to meet more people. And
taking naked pictures of John.
And then I took naked pictures of John.
Pants optional.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So anyways, we got through the rest of it. Go forth and be awesome. And fucking just think about the shit that you're putting out there.
God, yeah.
Seriously. Like. That's all I can say. I get jokes are out there. It can be fun.
And the internet is undefeated.
We get it. But, you know, you also have the option to actually prove that you're a better human than the ones that are around you. So.
Yeah.
Try for that.
So please. Three little things. They're not hard to do at all. Jazz.
Fucking smoke on.
Scott.
Ooh, drink on.
And God damn it, kids.
Freedom the fuck on.
Later.